Those of you who have been coming since the beginning of Advent, you know that we've been taking a verse of O Come, Emmanuel each week and focusing on that verse. Well, today, the verse that we're going to do is O Come, O Bright and Morning Star. And so we're going to go ahead and sing that now. And I want you guys to really let it sink in as we sing about it. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. More time, O come. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light.
Church, how are we this fine morning? Oh my goodness, guys. I know it's early. I feel it. I'm with you. But good morning! Hello, my name is Hannah Nielsen. I am the Associate Youth Pastor here at the River, and it is a joy to be with you here in this Advent season. Hi, high schoolers. Hi, middle schoolers. I see you. Welcome. Glad you're here. Sorry, you have to be here when I'm here. Suckers. Just kidding. So, we are in the season of Advent. We are in the season of waiting and remembering and expecting the coming of the King, the coming of Jesus Christmas, the reason for the season, if you will. And in this season of Advent, we spend a lot of time remembering, reflecting, contemplating. And one of the ways that we are doing that in this Advent season, as Abby said, is that we are going through the song, O Come, Emmanuel, as a way to reflect and wait and expect and anticipate Jesus's arrival. So as we just sung, the verse we are in of the song says this. It says, O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light. I'm struck by the beautiful imagery of this verse. Specifically, the thing that stands out to me the most is this idea of the morning star. Now, the morning star, when we look in Scripture, is a name for Jesus. The morning star is Jesus, and it's also utilized as a descriptor and name elsewhere in the Bible. But the morning star is actually an astronomical thing that happens every single day. The morning star is, in fact, a star. Surprise! It's like it's in the name. But more specifically, the morning star is the planet Venus or the star Sirius, depending on what time of year you're looking at the sky. What the morning star does is it's the last visible star in the sky before the dawn breaks. Obviously, you can see stars before the dawn because you're like, stars are always there. Yes, correct. But this is the last visible star. So when the light starts to come up as the dawn is breaking, the last thing you will see is the moon and then this one star, the morning star. See, this star guides us towards the dawn. It anticipates the light of day. I don't usually consider myself someone who has trouble navigating my surroundings or directions. I think I'm like pretty directionally savvy. Anyone else feel that in the room? You're like, okay, I'm mostly directionally savvy. Okay, there's like five of you. Everyone else is lost all the time. So have you ever, here's my question for you. Have you ever been in a situation where your directional skills were really put to the test? You're in like a high-pressure situation, like a corn maze, where you gotta like figure out your way. And anyone relate to this? You're like, yes, I've had to get out of tight spots. Okay, again, like three people. Everyone else is just lost, I guess. So I had a situation about a year ago where my directional navigation abilities were really put to the test. So after Sunday church work, I came home and I was like, great, got a couple hours before I got to go back to church for youth group, hashtag Sunday. So I went home to eat some lunch and to hang out, and I get home and I'm eating about 20 minutes of me being home. The power goes out in our apartment. And I was like, oh, bummer, dark. Ah, but it's fine, it's daytime. But the thing was that I've never experienced a power outage at my building before. I also have not experienced a power outage since then, so maybe it was a one-time phenomenon, who knows. But so I was like, it's fine, I got a couple hours, I'll be okay, I'll survive, but then I gotta head back to work. A couple hours pass by, the power does not turn back on. So I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. Still gotta go to work. So I like leave my apartment and I'm like heading towards the elevator, and I'm like, wait, no power. Oops, can't go that way. So obviously we go through the stairs because taking the elevator would be a bad idea. So go to the stairs, and I'm like, ah, the stairwell's dark, got my phone flashlight, great. I'm heading down to the parking garage under my building to get in my car and leave. And I was like, oh, you know, the parking garage is underground. Might be a little dark, but you know, maybe, oh, you know what, the gate to the entrance to the parking garage, I'll be able to see something with the light from that. Okay, I'll be okay. Maybe there's like a backup generator for like the exit signs or an emergency flashlight. Who knows? So I was like, oh, that's fine. I got my flashlight. We'll be good. So I go down the stairs and I'm like, okay, here I come, parking garage. But remember, I've never taken the stairs before. So I was also like, I don't know where this is going to spit me out in my parking garage. Who knows? So it's like, adventure. Get down there, open the door to get to the parking garage. And I'm met by deep, dark nothing. There is no light as far as the eye can see, or I guess as far as the eye can't see. So I'm like, all right, don't freak out. It's just darkness. It'll be fine. So I'm stumbling through the dark, trying to make my way, find my car. And I don't know if you guys have ever been in a darkness that was so dense, so oppressive, that it seems to swallow the light. All I have is my phone flashlight. And I'm like, this is not throwing as far as I wanted it to. I'm like running into cars, like trying to figure out where I am. I have no idea where I am in my parking garage. I've been there a bajillion times. I should know where I am, but I have no idea where the spirit spit me out, no idea where the gate is, no idea where my car is, no idea where the elevator is, nothing, no markers to help orient me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna get out of here? And the panic starts to set in after about 10 minutes of like trying to find my way in the darkness. And I'm like, okay, I trust my neighbors for the most part. I don't think any of them are like, you know, here or killers. So I should be okay. I'm just trying to make my way. It'll be fine, it'll be fine. But the fear and the panic start to set in when you have no idea how to find your way out. And so I'm like, I'm starting to like, I'm like walking and I'm like, okay, so it's okay, I'll find my car. But what if I can't find my car? Okay, then I go find the stairs. What if I can't find the stairs? Okay, then I try to find the, what if I can't find the gate? What if I'm stuck down here forever and I'll never get out and they'll find my bones? Like, it was just, went from like 1 to 100 of trying to find my way out of this parking garage. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, Jesus, please, I gotta go to youth group. Like, I don't know. So I'm like panicking and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And I look up as I turn the corner and I see a single sliver of light on the ceiling. I'm like, something, anything, oh my gosh. What I realized was that in our parking garage, it's underground. So there's a ramp to get down into the parking garage, and at the top is where the gate is. There's a little sliver of light coming from the gate that was hitting the ceiling. So I was able to see this light, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a way out. Here we go. I start to follow it. I let it orient me. It's like speaking to me as like a beacon in the night. I'm like, thank goodness. I thought I was going to die. I find my car. I'm able to drive out, get to youth group on time. It was a grand old time. No, it was terrifying. But what I realized about myself in this situation is that things were completely out of my control. Without the beacon of light to let me know the direction of the daylight outside and to know where my car was in relation to the light, I would have been completely lost. Nothing I could have done would have led me out. And I had to look for this guiding light that would direct me towards the fuller light I was ultimately looking for. This idea of stumbling around in the darkness, trying to find our way, is not a concept that is foreign to us. We, as human beings, live in a broken world. And darkness is the result of this brokenness. Sin or pain is prevalent. Darkness could be confusion, ignorance, fear, heaviness, life circumstance, you name it. And at some point in our lives, we are looking to get out of that feeling of darkness. We are looking for a guiding light to bring us to a better space, a brighter space, a space of hope, of purpose, of life, of joy. Because we don't want to stay in the darkness. We want to search for the light. And the entire verse of O Come, Emmanuel that we're looking at is a great example of this. See, this verse of this song is communicating this desire for light. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light. The searching for direction in the darkness, the expectation that the light of God, Jesus, will be with us and guide us is expressed so clearly in this verse. It is such a human desire. And throughout history, we've seen that people have pretty consistently been looking for light in the darkness. If you want to think way back in the day when people were making their way in the world and there wasn't electricity or anything, the desire for light, building a fire, giving some illumination at night in the darkness for safety so people didn't feel as vulnerable, that is a desire for light in the darkness. If you want to make it a little bit more internal for us today, in the middle of hard circumstances, I don't know how many of us who might feel a little positive are like, okay, what are the highs happening in my life in the midst of the lows? Where are the peaks in life? As well as the valleys. We are looking for light in the middle of darkness. In the same way, we as humans are always looking for direction, purpose, and guidance, and a way through our broken world and the hardships that surround us. And in the nativity story, in biblical times, we see that the Jewish people were also looking for light by way of waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Savior, who the prophets had foretold would deliver them from oppression, establish a righteous kingdom, and ultimately bring about a time of peace and restoration. And this was promised by God throughout the Old Testament scriptures. In ancient days and even now, there have been other methods of looking for purpose and meaning in life. This desire for guidance and direction has resulted in searching for prophecy through fortune telling, reading the stars. And in this particular nativity story, this is represented by a couple of background characters. Some people who show up very briefly in the nativity story, but have an important purpose. These people are the wise men or the magi. Now, there's not a ton known about the magi, but here's what we do know for a fact. They were considered the wise men because they were extremely well-learned. They were astrologers. They were people who sought knowledge. They were looking for information in their time, and we also know that they were from Persia. They were not originally Jewish people. And what we learn from them is that they knew about the Old Testament prophecy in Numbers. They knew about this prophecy that was that talked about the Messiah being found, the Messiah being found via a star. And so they were looking at the stars, looking for guidance, and they said, hey, there's a really bright star. Wait, this isn't normal. This astronomical phenomenon that they are witnessing, they said, this seems to be correlating with this prophecy that we know to be true. So they set off in search of truth to see if this was, in fact, a fulfillment of prophecy. And so that's where we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 2. They've traveled to see if the star is the coming of the Messiah. And it says this in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Pause. So the Magi witness the star. They say the star is a sign of a prophecy being fulfilled about a king. So what do? They go to the current king and they say, well, you're going to be the old king soon, so you could tell us about the new king. So they said, hey, we know this prophecy is true. We found this star. Where is this Messiah? Where is this Savior? Where is this new king supposed to be born? So what Herod does is he consults with his chief priests and advisors to figure out where the Messiah is supposed to be born. So they figure it out. They're like, ah, Bethlehem, that's the one. So they go, Herod goes back to the Magi and says, hey, this is where he's going to be born. I would like for you to go see if the Messiah is there. Worship him or whatever. Like, just go see if it's real. And then when you find out, come and report back to me. So this is where it picks up in Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want us to understand something about this passage. The Magi were following a star. They were following a guiding light. They followed what we might call the morning star, that was anticipating the coming of the light, the coming of the Savior who was going to establish God's righteous kingdom. And here's the thing. The Magi were not even Jewish, but they had the same human need, the same desire to have direction and guidance, to have illumination in a dark world. They were looking for a light in the middle of the darkness. They were looking for some type of Savior in a dark world. And the Magi's experience of searching is such a human experience. It is expressed so well and clearly in this verse of O come, Emmanuel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort. We are looking for comfort of the light. We are looking for the presence and goodness that only Jesus can bring to our dark world. So we ask, dispel the darkness of the night, because we can't do it alone. Jesus is the only one who can rid the world and our lives of darkness. And we are asking for this. We are looking for the light to come and rip apart the shadows and the darkness of our lives that can feel so oppressive. And so we ask, turn our darkness into light. This is a recognition that we are sinful. Our unfortunate reality is that we encounter darkness and live into it because we are broken people. We need Jesus to be present with us in our darkness and the world's darkness so that we can change and have permanent light in our lives. Jesus, the morning star, points us to the light of God's righteous kingdom. Jesus is in anticipation of God's kingdom breaking out in the same way that the morning star is in anticipation of the dawn. And this time of year is full of anticipation. As we look towards Christmas, as we look towards Jesus and the celebration of our Savior coming, this is good news. This is exciting. This is compelling. And yet, even though we know that the light of the world has already come, we are still aware that there is darkness that exists in all of our lives. For many, this season is one that may bring darkness to the forefront of our minds. For many of us, this season is full of reflection on the year. What positive, wonderful things happened, but what more difficult and trying things happened this year? Maybe this season is full of worry over family dynamics as we travel home for the holidays or have people come to us. And maybe we're fearful of the tumultuous relationships that exist within our lives and having to handle them. Maybe this season is full of potential financial stress with traveling expenses or it just being a more high-spend time of the year and getting gifts for people when really we're just trying to get by. Maybe this season for some of us is full of social isolation where our relationships or our life circumstances look different than how they have been in the past. We now have to adapt to this. Or maybe this season is full of the acknowledgement of grief and loss, the pain of knowing who might not be with us anymore, and whatever other emotions we are handling in this season. And these situations make rejoicing in the light of our Savior a little bit tricky. It can feel like there's lots of expectations in this season for us to be happy and jolly and merry and excited. But many of us are just trying to get through the day. The reality, this reality of darkness in our lives is prevalent. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge this because regardless of what is happening in your life, I know that many of us are holding that darkness and that tension at the same time that we are wanting to rejoice and praise and be happy in this season. And so if you are in that space of darkness being at the forefront of your mind or that being part of your season, I want to say, I see you. I'm sorry for what it's worth, but I see it. And I want us to acknowledge this for ourselves, because then we can validate that in ourselves and it becomes a little bit less scary to try and manage alone. I want us to be able to take the pressure off of ourselves that we're supposed to feel a certain way. I'm supposed to be okay in this season. I'm supposed to be the bridge between my family members and feel okay about that. I'm supposed to be grateful for all that I have in this season. I wonder if really the darkness gives us an opportunity if we let it. I wonder if the darkness gives us an opportunity to see the light of Christ a little bit more clearly than we normally would. Maybe the best thing for us in this season is to look for the bright and morning star, the small sliver of light in the darkness. Because it's in the darkness that we appreciate the light. When I go to the parking garage every single day, I do not notice or appreciate the light that allows me to know my path to my car to then get out of the parking garage. I don't think about it. It is only when I was in the darkness that I desperately needed the light, that I appreciated what I had when it was completely gone and thought, I need the light now more than ever, because light gives us direction in the dark. Jesus gives us direction in the darkness of our world, in the darkness of the season, in the darkness of our lives. And the good news is that in life, we are frantically looking for direction. But God has given us a light to guide us. God has given us the light of Jesus. Jesus, who is the branch of Jesse, who was foretold of for hundreds of years. Jesus, the Messiah, come to save the world. Jesus, who is Emmanuel incarnate, God with us. Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace when the darkness closes in. Jesus, the bright and morning star. And so when we are in the darkness, we look toward the light to guide us. During this Advent season, we have been encouraging the spiritual practice of waiting for the dawn, of rising early before the sun, and waiting and reflecting as we wait for the new day to begin. This feels a little bit more relevant to me this week, as it is in our anticipation of the dawn that we see the morning star. As we are waiting for the dawn, we first see the morning star, which lets us know that the dawn, the light, is near. Even in the darkness, we follow the morning star as we anticipate the dawn, the light, the kingdom of God at hand. And so, in a moment, we will play a video that simulates the coming of the dawn, and we will spend some time anticipating and waiting for the darkness to arrive. However, unlike previous weeks, the start of this video is a little bit different. You will actually be able to see the image of a morning star. And so as we enter into this time, my hope and my prayer for us is that we look towards the morning star. And as we do, I would encourage you to reflect on where the morning star, Jesus, is shining through and guiding you. This is a twofold process of acknowledging, where is darkness in my life, in this season, right now? But don't just sit there. Then say, okay, so where do I see the morning star also in this season? We look for Jesus and look for where he is guiding us, no matter how small it may seem. So to lead us into this time together, I'm going to repeat the verse of O come, Emmanuel. And we will let it guide us and lead us into this time of reflection. So my ask of you right now is that you would put both feet on the floor to help ground yourself. Make sure you can feel the back of your chair against your back. Go ahead and close your eyes. Take some deep breaths to center yourself. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light.